take your Bible and let's turn together to the book of Philippians, Philippians chapter 4. Now, before I get started into the message this morning, a couple of things I want to mention to you. I was thinking as we were singing, I looked up here and I noticed Judge Linda Coates. And with everything that's gone on this week, I just want to say, Linda, I am so grateful to know that we have someone like you who serves as a judge in our community who upholds righteousness and godly standards. We thank God for you and all that you do. We really do. Just don't go to her courtroom. She's tough. I want to mention to you that tonight at 5:30, we have every fourth Sunday night of the month, we do what we call Together in Prayer. We believe that God's people intentionally and purposefully gathering together for Spirit-led, Bible-driven prayer is important. Now, tonight is going to be a little different in that we're going to have some family time where we're going to talk about some things as a church that are going on. Our business administrator is going to give you an update on a few things. And then I'm going to share with you a response and report from the Southern Baptist Convention this last week or so that I attended. And we're going to spend some time in prayer together. So please make sure that you make it a priority to come and be a part of this prayer gathering tonight at what time? 5:30. It's going to be important that you be there. Now, on Wednesday nights this summer, we're doing our midweek worship gathering through the summer. We normally don't have a midweek worship gathering during the fall and spring. We do our equip groups. But in the summer, we do a worship gathering because we know a lot of people travel and we don't want them to miss 2 weeks in a row if possible. But I teach what's called a hard questions series. Last Wednesday night, I taught on church discipline. The week before that, on understanding evil. You can go online and you can get all the notes. You can also listen to the audio of that. But this week, I'm going to be addressing the hard question, when love hurts. What do you do if someone that you love tells you that they're gay? What are you going to do about the pronoun issue? And a lot of other surrounding important questions that you may be interested in knowing how to have a biblical and a godly and a Christ-honoring response. These are going to be important times, and I hope you can be a part of that Wednesday night at 6:15. So we've been studying the book of Philippians on Sunday mornings, verse by verse, chapter by chapter. And when we got to chapter 4, I shared with you that we're going to be talking about what the scripture says about perpetual joy. 2 weeks ago, we talked about that part of having perpetual joy in your Christian life is learning how to enjoy God's people in your life. God didn't save you to live your Christian life alone, but He intended for you to be in community and what that looks like. Today we're going to be looking at what the scripture says, beginning in verse 6 and going through verse 9, at what the Bible says about resting in God's presence. If you're going to have a perpetual joy in your life, now, I don't mean perpetual happiness because we know that happiness is an emotion that comes and goes, but joy is a fruit of the Spirit that permeates our lives because of the indwelling Holy Spirit. How do we live with joy even when things may not be happy around us? As a matter of fact, when I think about the world around us, there are plenty of things that are causing people anxiety, frustration, and fear. And yet the Bible says that you and I do not have to live overwhelmed and overtaxed and worried all the time. Now, how many of you grew up with a mother that worried all the time? My mother was the chief of worriers. I mean, she really was. I remember distinctly driving down Highway 72 and going to my parents' house when they lived over off Highway 72 here in Huntsville. We got there, and my mother had called my father and told him to drive down 72 because he had heard sirens and was fearful that Vicky and I had been in a wreck. Now, that's just not worry. That's what? Crazy. Now, I love my mom, and she's gone on to be with Jesus, but, you know, that's just a little over the top. But let's get really honest. How many of you struggle at times with getting anxious and worried in your life? Anybody? Yeah, most of us do. I do at times. And for those of you that never get worried or overcome with anxiety, I wish I could be like you, but I'm not. I'm a human being. And Paul writes in Philippians... They finally got that, didn't they, Rick? But Paul writes in Philippians chapter 4, look what he says in verse 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God that surpasses all comprehension will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence and if anything worthy of praise, dwell, literally, keep on dwelling on these things. The things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. When you read this passage of Scripture, you ought to ask yourself the question, do I have peace with God? Do you have the peace of God? Now, there is a distinct difference between these two questions. When you ask, do I have peace with God? Ultimately, you're asking, am I a Christian? The Bible says that every single one of us are at enmity with God before we're a Christian. We're the enemies of God. We are suffering under the wrath of God. But God sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross to take the penalty for our sin, that if we will repent, turn away from our sin, and put our trust in Jesus Christ alone, Christ who died on the cross for our sin and rose from the dead, the Bible says that God forgives us and embraces us and brings us into his family, and we're no longer the enemies of God, but we have become the children of God. I want to ask you this morning, do you have peace with God? Are you a child of God? Not, before this service is over, I want to speak with you. Someone on our staff wants to speak with you. You can contact the online pastor right now on the chat feature and say, I need to have peace with God. But my guess is the vast majority of you have made peace with God, but whether or not you have the peace of God means something else. This second question describes if you are resting in the presence of God. Now, in the first five verses of Philippians 4, Paul was encouraging the Philippians to be at peace with one another and to have unity in the body of Christ and to enjoy one another's relationships. And then in verse 6, Paul turns from encouraging the Philippians to be at peace with one another to reminding them that perpetual joy involves your resting in God's presence. Jesus said in John 14 and in verse 27, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Don't let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. You know what Paul wanted? Paul wanted the Philippians to live every day knowing God's peace and presence in their lives. And what I want to do this morning is I want to look at this passage And we're going to examine it and extrapolate out of it the things that God wants to teach us so that you and I can live every single day enjoying God's presence and God's peace in our lives. We're living in tumultuous times. We're living in a day where everything you read and everything you listen to and everything you hear people say, there's violence, there's anger, there's frustration, but the people of God don't have to live in the midst of all of this, fearful, overwhelmed, overtaxed, and worried. We can live with the peace of God because we're abiding in the very presence of God every day. Do you believe this? Here's the key thought for you this morning. You can live every day knowing God's presence and His peace in your life. So let's begin with the first question. What is it that prevents a person from resting in God's presence? Notice in verse 6 what Paul says. Paul says in verse 6, he makes it very clear, do not be anxious for anything. Be anxious for nothing. Now, this is literally a command. It's an imperative command. Paul is, in essence, saying, I want you to stop being overwhelmed and worried and overly anxious about life and everything that you're experiencing. So, in other words, the Philippians were frustrated. They were dealing with difficulties in their life that were overwhelming them and causing them and creating some kind of worry. Now notice what he says, be anxious in what? Nothing. You see, what we often do is we look at people and when we come across someone and they're anxious about something, we say, well, that's not anything to be anxious about. And then it's our turn. And something happens in our lives and we become anxious about that. And we say, well, you know, I understand why they don't need to be anxious. What they were dealing with wasn't that big a deal, but now it's important to me. It's like surgery. It's only major when it's happening to you, right? But notice that Paul said, be anxious in nothing. He didn't say there are tiers of life's experience that you can go up and anxiety and worry and fear are acceptable. He says, literally, be anxious in nothing. Peter said it in 1 Peter 5:7, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 6 said, I tell you, don't worry about your life, what you'll eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food and the body more important than clothing? Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. When you read the scripture, the Bible tells us that we often get overwhelmed, and Jesus again and again and again reminds us not to worry. In John 14, verse 1, do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. One writer put it like this, people become worried and anxious and fearful because they don't trust God's wisdom, power, or goodness. What are reasons that you and I worry? What are the reasons that we ultimately become anxious? Now, I'm not saying that there aren't things that happen in our life. If you've ever waited on a doctor's report and you've been waiting on test results, I want to tell you, you can get impatient. Let's not call it worry. Let's call it impatience. Amen? I understand that. Maybe you're waiting on a phone call about a job, or you're waiting on some other issue to be resolved in your life, and it's very easy to be overwhelmed with anxiety about it. But ultimately, what's the root of our anxiety? Well, one thing that happens sometimes is unbelief. Some people don't believe God. Sometimes we're filled with anxiety because of interpersonal conflict. You know, you can't be at peace with God if you're not at peace with other people. Sometimes we're overwhelmed with anxiety and worry because of fear. We're gripped by phobia. Sometimes we get overwhelmed by anxiety because of worry and anxiety itself. Now, I want to differentiate what I mean by this. I'm not talking about anxiety that is a mental health issue that is something that people need help with. I'm not talking about if you're here and you suffer from anxiety that is extraordinary and needing medical help or counseling or those kind. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the routine, everyday things that we experience in life that we allow to overwhelm us as a believer. Just flat out worry. Sometimes we get overwhelmed because there's a lack of trust. We really don't trust the Lord. Notice what Paul says. Be anxious for nothing. I want to ask you right now, what is it that is waking you up at night? What is it right now in your life that is causing you to fret? Maybe you're a young person and it's the uncertainty of your future. Maybe it's you're longing for God to give you a spouse and that person hasn't shown up yet. Or maybe, just maybe, it is a job situation or maybe it's your health. I know right now that we have a number of people in our church that are facing some very serious health issues. They need our love. They need our support. They need our care. But I don't want them overwhelmed with anxiety. I want to help them find peace by abiding in the very presence of God. What is it that's overwhelming you this morning? I want you to rest in God's presence. Now, I want you to notice, beginning in verse 5, the last phrase of verse 5, what Paul says, the Lord is near. Now pick up in verse 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And then he says, after that, what does he say? The peace of God that surpasses all comprehension will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. And then look in verse 9. The things you've learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Do you know what resting in God's presence will produce in your life? There are two things that the Apostle Paul identifies. He says that when you and I rest in the presence of the living God, you will be given an inner calm in the midst of storms. You're going to be given an inner calm in the midst of your storms. Notice what he says in verse 7. The peace of God that surpasses all comprehension will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Now, the word for guard is the word garrison. It means literally God will set up a sentry around your heart and around your mind that will guard you and give you the peace that can only come from the Father. There's an old Spanish proverb that says this. It makes the statement, it's one thing to talk bull, it's another thing to be in the bull ring. And sometimes it's easy for us to talk about having peace until we're in the midst of the storm, but God wants us to have peace in the midst of the ring. Amen. This week I saw a video of a dad that his son was riding a bull. Now, when I lived in Colorado, I know you can't picture this, but I was so excited about wanting to be a cowboy. I was in the seventh grade and the eighth grade, and I had a horse. He was a black and white paint, just like Little Joe Cartwright on Bonanza. Anybody ever seen that show? And my horse was mean. He was a Mustang, and he was fast, and he was fun. But he didn't let everybody ride him, but he let me ride him. And I was learning on that horse to not only get out and do things, but I was starting to learn about some rodeo things, and I had just started to learn to rope a little bit, and I was excited because I was going to try to learn how to ride steers. And I know I'm crazy, but that's what I wanted to do at the time. I thought that's what you did. But anyway, my dad moved us to Huntsville, Alabama, and retired from the Army and went to work for the space program, sold my horse, my motorcycle, and ruined everything. I'm not bitter at all. But I saw this video of this dad whose son was riding bulls. And his son was in a rodeo, and he was bucked off this bull, and what looked to be he was knocked unconscious. And that bull was running around, and of course you have the rodeo clowns trying to distract the bull, but when it looked like the bull was going to go back and try to gore that boy that was laying in the dirt of the rodeo arena, his dad literally rushed out into the arena and laid over the body of his son and covered him up while the bull came and pushed on them. And I thought, he was guarding his son. Do you know that you have a heavenly Father? The Bible says that when you abide in his presence, God literally sets up guard over you to protect your mind and your heart. He gives you an inner calm in the midst of storms. That's what he says in verse 7. He says, the peace of God, not your peace, but peace that comes from God, will surpass all comprehension. It will not make sense to anyone else. It may not make sense to your family. It will not make sense to the lost world. But God will set up within your heart and in your mind a sense of his presence and his abiding peace that will literally wrap around you and guard you in your heart and in your mind. Because I want to tell you what happens when we get worried. Our imaginations take off. Some of you get on the internet and read what Dr. MD on the internet has to say. And you begin to chase down every possible thing. Rather than resting in God and trusting, we begin to try to figure everything out for ourselves. And our mind becomes very vivid in our imaginations, wondering what might there be? What could be happening? Will this work out? Will I get married? Will I get that job? Will God ever do? And God says, it's in my presence that I will guard your heart and your mind. He'll give you an inner calm in the midst of storms. That's what it means to be in the presence of God. Secondly, it means confidence in God's abiding presence. He says in verse 9, in that last phrase, and the God of peace will be with you. Robert Louis Stevenson, one of the best known authors of English literature, his father was an engineer who built lighthouses on the coast of England and off of Scotland. One day, Robert Louis Stevenson's father took him on a trip as he was inspecting these lighthouses that were being built. And they were actually off the Irish coast, and a storm broke out. It was near Bell Rock. Their ship was struck by such a gale force storm that it lasted for 25 hours. As a boy, Robert Louis Stevenson was overwhelmed with fear and anxiety. And he asked his dad, he said, Dad, is the ship going to break up? Are we going to sink and die? His dad went up onto the top of the ship, went out onto the deck, and he went up there while the storm was raging, and he saw the captain of the ship had tied himself to the foremast And Robert Louis Stevenson's dad looked at the captain and then came back down into the hold where they were supposed to be. And he said to his son, "Robert, all will be well. For I looked into the face of the captain and he smiled." I want to tell you something. When you're in a storm, when you're overwhelmed with something that's causing you to worry and fear, we have a tendency to look at this and look to that and look for this and look for that answer. And all God really wants us to do is to look into his face. And when you see him, when you know that you are in the presence of the living God, not only will it produce an inner calm in your heart, but it will result in the reality of God's presence in your life. You will have confidence in God's abiding presence. Now I want to ask you a question. How many of you want to live every day of your life having an inner calm that defies the storm on the outside? Anybody? How many of you want to have confidence every day that you know that God's presence is with you? Do you want to know that this morning? Well, I want to give you the pathway that Paul gave to the church in Philippi. There are three simple things that Paul gave to the church that I want to share with you that are absolutely essential, that if you were going to have God's abiding presence in your life, and his peace is going to overwhelm you even in the storms of life, there are three things Paul said to the church in Philippi. Notice what he says again in verse 6. "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God." The very first thing that you've got to do if you are going to have the knowledge, because we know God is everywhere, he is omnipresent, God is everywhere, but you want to know he's there. The very first tool that God has given us is prayer. Now, Warren Wiersbe says, not just praying, but right praying. The Bible nowhere says that any kind of praying will bring peace to our hearts. What is right praying? It begins with adoration. In verse 6, this is what he's speaking about. This is what the word prayer means. Enjoying the very presence of God. If you're going to enjoy the presence of God and have the peace of God that lives in you, when you pray, part of your praying has to be an adoration, a worship, and a declaration of the greatness and the goodness and the worthiness of God. Yes, tell him all about your troubles. That's the next word that's used here in verse 6. He says in this passage, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication," he says. Tell God all about your troubles. Let him know everything that's in your life. But if you want to know the presence of God in your life, then you've got to worship and adore him for who he is. He is worthy of all praise, glory, and adoration. He's not just talking about personally. Worship is a key ingredient. You came in here this morning and maybe you didn't feel like singing a song, and maybe you didn't feel like giving God praise and adoring him. I want to tell you something. When you come into this place, praise is not a volitional part of the emotion. It is a volitional act of the will. And it's not based on how you feel. It is based on the worthiness of our God. And if you will rise up and cry out and adore him and worship him, I am telling you, God makes his presence known when his people praise him. And he'll do that in your life when you pray. He says true prayer comes from the heart, not the lips. Verse 6 again, "by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving." It's within the sphere and the atmosphere of thanksgiving. When you and I tell God that we adore him, when we remind him of all that he's done for us, he doesn't need reminding, but we do. And when we thank him and we rejoice in all that God has done, God begins to do a work in our hearts. God begins to do a work in our minds. God begins to change our outlook, because no longer are we looking at the problems, but we cast all our cares on him. And we're reminded for the way that he's already cared for us. You want to know about God's presence in your life? You want his peace to be real? It begins with prayer, that begins with praise. Then he says in this next verse, look in verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence, if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. So not only do we pray, but secondly, we ponder the wonders of God. Proverbs 23, verse 7 says, as he thinks in his heart, so he is. Think on these things. It's continuous action. It means that you and I are to continually, habitually dwell on the things that are good. I think one of the challenges that we face sometimes when we're overwhelmed is we want to think on all the bad. We want to think of what could be, what, rather than what God can do. And I'm not talking about a merely power of positive thinking. That's not what Paul is saying to the Philippians. Now, notice the words that he uses. He says in verse 8, he says, first of all, what's true? There is so much importance that you and I know what the Word of God says, because the world and your imagination is going to try to get you to believe a lie. That's what the enemy does. He wants you to believe lies. God says, you focus on my truth. And then he says, not only focus on my truth, but whatever is honorable, upright, that which is righteous, what is pure and lovely and of good repute, excellence, all of these things. If we would dwell on the greatness of God and the things that God is doing, we would get our mind focused on the things that God wants us to see, rather than overwhelmed with worry and anxiety about those things that we cannot control. That's why scripture memory is so important. It's why praying scripture is so important. Ponder the very excellence, not only of who God is, but what God has promised in your life. I think that we all wish that life didn't have trouble. I think we all wish that the world would have listened to the announcement that was made this week from the Supreme Court and rejoiced. We're all amazed at how much people hate what has happened, but yet we ought to understand the world hated him first, it's going to hate us too. But we don't have to be worried. We dwell on the promises of God. So the pathway, how do I get to the place of resting in God's presence? It's through prayer. It's through pondering the wonders of God. But then he says in verse 9, it's by practicing the principles from God. The word for received was used regularly of receiving truth from a teacher. The word do refers to practice as a habit. If you were to read carefully James chapter 4, verses 1 through 11, you would note that wrong praying and wrong living and wrong thinking produce war instead of peace. That's why we've got to pray. That's why we've got to ponder the wonders of God. But he says in verse 9, the things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things. So if you want to live every day, listen, with an inner calm that is unexplainable to the rest of the world around you, if you want to have confidence of God's presence and peace abiding in your life, you pray, you spend your time pondering the wonders of God, but you also practice the biblical truths that God intends for us to obey. You can't live a disobedient life and be at peace with God. You can't live a disobedient life and not experience the uncomfortableness of the Spirit at work in your life. If you walk in obedience, the peace of God will be greater than if you don't walk in obedience. And Paul says to the Philippians, not only do you ponder the wonders of God, but you also practice these things. You see, it may very well be that one reason that we struggle with peace is we struggle with obedience. Listen to what the scripture says in Psalm 73. But as for me, the nearness of God is my good. I have made the Lord God my refuge, that I may tell of all of your works. And in verse 5, Paul said to the Philippians, the Lord is near. Have you ever found yourself in a spiritual moment where you didn't feel like the Lord was near? And you said, Lord, I just want to know your presence. Have you ever needed to know that God was there? I have. Sometimes at night, I just want to reach over and touch Vicky to make sure she's still there. Rapture or something hasn't occurred, you know? No, I just, you know, it always feels better when she's there. I'm speaking to people this morning that maybe you are alone. Your spouse has gone to be with the Lord, and you remember how difficult it was to get accustomed to them not being there. Anybody want to say it was hard? Say amen. I can't even imagine. But what I can say is this: the Lord promises to never leave you or forsake you. And knowing, if you cannot touch him with your hand, that he is still there, is a process of growing intimacy through prayer, through the mind and the heart pondering the wonders of God, and practicing the Christian life in such a way that though you may not see him, you know him. Would you stand? I'm speaking this morning to someone who says, Daryl, I need God's peace in my life. I know I have peace with God, but I am really struggling to have the peace of God. Maybe you're going through a hardship. Maybe you're walking through a difficulty. I don't know. But I know that if you want to come down here this morning and you want to pray with one of your pastors or a counselor, we'll be glad to just pray that God in his power would make himself known. It may very well be this morning that you say, I don't know if I have peace with God or not. I don't know that I'm a Christian, but I'd like to talk with someone. You come, we'll talk with you. In a moment, we're going to sing a wonderful song, and as we do, we're not going to manipulate you, we're not going to try to coerce you, but if the Spirit of God is dealing with you online, I want you to get on there and talk with the pastor online. If God is dealing with you in this room, maybe you just need to come here to the altar and lay something at the altar, not physically, but spiritually, and say, God, I've been holding on to this, and it's creating worry and anxiety in my heart, my mind. Would you help me today? How's God dealing with you? Father, I pray this morning that your Spirit will have freedom to move. I pray, God, that if there is one person who needs to come and be prayed for today, that they'll come. That we will seek your presence and your peace above all things. We love you and we long for you. We pray in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen.